We'll open with prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. God's word of truth for us today is Romans 3, verse 4. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Does that first line grab your attention? Especially if you let it hit home and make it personal. Let God be true, but every human a liar. That will be our theme today. May God help us to accept it and apply it to ourselves. First off, it gives you a universal truth that you can apply to any situation in which God is on one side of the issue and the human viewpoint of an individual or group of people, an entire profession, or a whole society is on the other side of the issue. Classic example is creation evolution. God claims in the Bible. He's very upfront about it. First words that he's talking about, that he miraculously made the universe 6,000 years ago. He created the world in six consecutive 24-hour days by speaking it all into existence in perfect condition. Now, you know the other side, what they want to say, right? A little bit anyway. From Charles Darwin to Stephen Hawking to Richard Dawkins, most scientists and a lot of others hold to a theory that the world came to be on its own through random mutations over the course of millions of years. In the standoff between the two, creation, evolution, we could engage in apologetics. There are very good arguments to be made for creation, but we don't need to. You don't need to fact-check God. Apply Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar, which has to mean that creation happened exactly the way God said, and evolution did not, no matter what Darwin or Dawkins or any other person might want to say. Now, creation evolution as a controversy did not exist when this passage was written. It has a different situation behind it, something closer to home. People behaving badly, treating God unfaithfully, even though he had treated all of them with entire faithfulness. It has a part of Psalm 51. When God confronted David through Nathan the prophet, when David admitted his guilt, his sins of adultery and murder, he confessed that God was right and he was wrong. He said it in these words, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Shifting from King David to ourselves, let's focus on a similar problem. What all is happening when we give in to our own forms of sin? Typically, it starts with a desire. Our flesh, also called the sinful nature, controls our heart, and it wants something on the other side of the line that God has drawn. That line is clearly there in all of his commandments, which lay out for us what our thoughts, words, and actions are supposed to be. When you pay closer attention to the Bible in its parts, you see more exactly where that line is. That's good. But the flesh wants what it wants. If we give in to its desire, we do more than cross God's line. Even if we don't realize it, by our actions, we make an unspoken statement that we are right and God is wrong. Meanwhile, God in his mercy comes for us in a rescue mission. He uses our conscience as a built-in guilt alarm to let us know that something is wrong with us. If we feel bad about what we did, if you feel bad about what you said, that's good as a first step to recovery. God also uses the people in your lives, parents, teachers, the pastor, one of your friends, to close the gap, to confront you or me, and get us to realize not only the line that we crossed, but the fact that God is right and we are wrong. Most importantly, God uses the Holy Spirit to change our minds about this, to get us back on his side of it, so that we repent and we have our own Psalm 51 King David moment. Maybe you don't use the exact words, but God will lead you to believe them and to live them. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. Let God be true, but every person a liar. That truth applies to the gospel. God is not only right when he shows us our sin and the condemnation we deserve, he is also right when he shows you the Savior and the salvation that Jesus brings. Here again, the human viewpoint is way off. Thinking, insisting, advising that we have to make up for it somehow. We need to atone. We have to redeem ourselves. But it's all a lie. Let God be true when he says, as the final judge, your sin is covered, placed on Jesus, taken to the cross, gone from God's sight. Let God be true when he tells you through his Son, be of good cheer, your sin is forgiven. Let God be true when he calls you back to his side and you can resume having the confidence expressed in Romans 8. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' saving name, amen. We'll close today with three stanzas of hymn 297. Stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4, hymn 297.